When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Harbaugh now heads to Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert on the move and throws and touchdown.
I was just trying to show off,
man. I want to be known as world champions. And we're gonna do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better than that?
Well, good afternoon, folks. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wooldog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
And let's never forget Kyle the Coach Duggan. Welcome back, sir.
People tried to forget me, and they tried. I see group chats going around of petitioning for Dave.
Some slander. Who gets more slander these days, you or Quentin Johnston?
It's debatable.
Who's taking more heat these days? No, Kyle, the Coach Duggan, or Quentin Johnston? Put it down in the comments, folks. Welcome back. We've got a hell of an episode lined up for you. We've got an NFL Mike Bolt of the Week segment lined up for you and an Ask Bolt fam. And there's tons going around the league because it's training freaking camp.
Dude, I was doing this outline. I was like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. What do we talk about? This got hard again.
They got the click clack on.
They got them click clacks on.
Clickety clacks.
Ah, so good to see. But before we get to any of that, we always got to wish this special lady a birthday. This is one of the OG listeners to the Charger Chat, one of the OG supporters. And we need to wish Karen happy freaking birthday.
Happy birthday, Karen. We love you so much.
Happy birthday, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for all the years of support and everything you've done for this podcast. We greatly appreciate it. And
yes.
And we can't wait to see you at Thunder Alley. Get another picture. Get our yearly picture with Karen. It's always on our checklist. All right, folks. Looking at the news, training camp is happening. It's here. They're doing it at the Bolt. Fans in attendance. It's been a great thing to see. One of the most recent things that was brought up was Alohi Gilman wasn't at one of the practices. Questions came up. Where he at? Where's Alohi? We got the Alohi crew. Where's Alohi? Apparently, he was at the birth of his child, said Jim Harbaugh. Baby girl, congrats, Alohi. I believe is what I heard.
Yeah, congrats, Alohi, dude. That's amazing.
Do you think that dad strength kicks in instantly? And now,
dude, he immediately got better against the run. Immediately got better against the run. Like, instant. Yeah.
His tackling percentage just went up a couple notches.
Oh, for sure. And I think it has something to do with, like, less sleep, more just, like, blind rage at stuff. So I think he will 100% be a force to be reckoned with this year. Congrats, dude. Yeah.
May lose some of his ability to read coverage, but he'll hit harder.
Yeah, he'll hit a lot harder. He'll fly around.
That does. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we said, training camp is happening, and it was just yesterday, right, that they started practicing with the pads, right?
Mm-hmm. Monday.
Yeah. So great to see these guys got their pads on. They are, and boy, the pictures are coming out of the hard practices.
I've said this so many times, and I'm a broken record, but them wearing their full game unis to practice, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wonder if it's not very comfortable, though. Like, normally your practice jerseys are a little looser, a little bit more comfy fitting. I wonder if, like, because even Derwin said that in one of the interviews over the offseason. He's like, yeah, it felt a little weird at first coming out in the game unis. I don't know. I wonder what the actual edge is going to be from wearing game jerseys. I guess you feel like you look better. Like when you're looking at the
look
person
better, play better.
Yeah, like when you're lining up to for a 7-on-7, 11-on-11, and you look across and they have full get up on, you kind of switch it on a little bit more, probably.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, and somebody was saying, I think it was JK did an interview where he's like, yeah, it's tighter on your legs, it's tighter on your knees. You gotta like, it's just a different, you're running just, it's different. It's just a little different, but it's different. So he said that he did it in Baltimore. I guess that, you know,
of course they did.
The Harbaughs both do it, so
it's the Harbaugh way.
If it works for them, it works for me. Yeah.
And then there's some quotes here from Harbaugh, of course, on some of the first days in the pads. Harbaugh said it was another really good day, just great day for football. Whether pads or no pads, I look at how much time do I have today. I get super excited about it because it's armor. It's more a way of protecting ourselves. As I said the other day, it's not a weapon to be used against our own teammates. But yeah, now receivers can dive for balls. They can go up and jump for balls because when they come down, they're coming down with pads and protection. It's another good thing.
I haven't thought about it like that. Yeah, and he's definitely, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, but like the what he's doing with his, he has a few theories about ramping people up that is very different. And I think hopefully this might be the beginning of the end of our dramatic injuries that happen all the time at training camp, because it seems like we always get something crazy.
Right.
Well, they're already going on around the league. I see on like on social media, so-and-so tore their MCL.
Michael Badgley, so-and-so, ex-Charger kicker.
Yeah, Badgley's out for the whole year.
Tore his hamstring. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that stuff's already starting to happen. So
it's wild that that such dramatic injuries and devastating injuries can happen so early. But
yeah,
we got Herbert, baby. We got Ben Herbert. We got Justin Herbert. We got all the Herberts.
We got all the Herberts.
We got a monopoly on Herberts. But on some of the one-on-one battles, Joe Wall went up against Bosa on the first two reps and held his own against the veteran edge rusher. Cool.
We are all kind of, because remember it was him talking about he was going to pop him in the chin and see how he takes it.
Yeah.
NFL, yeah.
Apparently the first one was like a proper bull rush and, you know, Joe Alt held his own. So
Joe versus Joe.
That's, I love it. I'm excited. This is, well, we needed that. And you're picking him that high in the first round. You expect him to be able to consistently compete with our best edge rushers. and it's funny because I had to bring this up because it's freaking hilarious to me. The Raiders are all hyped up about how good Max Crosby's looking in practice and how he's beating everyone. And I was like, do you realize that you're just talking shit about your own offensive line? Like right, he's beating your own guys. I don't know if that is what's great about him or what's bad about this other thing. So right. I just wanted to say that because I thought it was freaking hilarious. Back to the regular scheduled programming.
In talking to Harbaugh, he said, somebody asked me who won. I don't know. We're going to have to go to the tape to figure that one out. It was a good give and take both sides. Some guys really stood out. This is about Bosa and Joe Alt. Said it was good to give and take. Kind of what you want to see. You don't want to see the offense dominating the defense at this stage for sure. You could have the defense domination, the offense at these stages of camp, and I'd be okay with that. It was really a reflection of the whole practice. It was a good give and take on both sides.
Yeah, so, and I think
calling it a draw.
Yeah, so I heard a lot. I heard some takes on social media that the defense dominated the offense today. I think, or on Monday, I think it's, you put pads on, I think it benefits the defense first, like right off the bat. Because that's more aligned with what they, like their identity. Mm-hmm. I think that our offense will become more aggressive, but I think that that's also still like, you have to have some finesse and getting used to, I don't know. I think that right off the bat, I've never had a team that I've coached that the offense is firing on all cylinders before the defense. Mm. But then it eventually catches up and they either become equal or they surpass the defense. I don't think it's anything to read into or get worried about. I think that's just very natural with development of football throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. And then there was this tasty little tidbit. This was from earlier on in training camp, Harbaugh talking about the glide theory. Gliding. So the glide theory came in August 2012. That is when it was invented /named. It came from me and my dad, Jack Harbaugh. We went back and forth and came up with that. He wants the team to glide to full speed like an airplane climbing up to 30,000 feet. The first week wasn't for ascending quickly, so Harbaugh handed down what he called tempo violations, which essentially means when players aren't playing at the agreed practice pace. It is difficult, but I still want to make sure our teammates are safe and that we get to the game healthy and listen to the coach, Samuel said. Is this Asante Samuel?
Yeah, that's Asante.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know, this is from Chris Rim's article on ESPN. I definitely want to call him out because this was his work.
Okay. And then outside linebacker Khalil Mack has already felt the impact on the scaled back approach. He said he is typically tight and sore at this point in training camp, but feels the best he has in his career at this point in the offseason. Definitely feels like a glide, Mack said. I'm not going to say that we're not practicing hard, but it's definitely a progression. Just making sure that we don't have any mishaps while we're in that glide, Harbaugh said. It's been my experience that a lot of these injuries that happen day one or day two, they're the long-term six-month kind.
So true. Yeah, I mean, we heard that. Oh, there was a clip posted of Coach Harbaugh talking to Derwin. He's like, glide today, just glide. And just I was like, maybe. Oh, just like play quick and smooth. But that was him being like, chill out, dude. Don't go out there and take anybody's head off.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need any of those unnecessary roughness penalties. Yeah, I mean, there's always caution. That's not what I expected. When Harbaugh was hired and you hear about how much of like a, like how hard he is and like how like intense he is and we're going to run the football and you assume they're going to be out there day one, full pads going at it. Cause we even heard about that in when it was in minicamp and they were doing full 11 on 11s. Yeah. And it's like, oh, they're just going to get after it. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there's going to be some balance to it. Like you'll get after it, but to a certain extent and keep it on the grow continually. So I don't know. I feel weird. I feel like that's not what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting a ramp up. I was expecting a boom. It's day one. Let's get after it.
Maybe it's a glide to violence. They're going to glide their way to domination. Possible episode title. I want to throw my hat
glide
in the ring
their
on
way
that
to
one.
War.
Yeah. Glide to violence.
And then there was a Bosa press conference that had some other tasty tidbits as well, saying, I'm super excited. Every year I'm excited. The beginning of every year, there's a lot of hope and excitement going into each season. You never know how it's going to play out. When you get a guy like Coach Harbaugh that has been there and won a bunch of places, you know that he's not testing it out for the first time. He has a strategy that he knows that works, and I think it's easy to buy in when you have a guy like that. Winning a national championship, going to a Super Bowl, wherever he's been really successful. So to have a guy that comes in, lays the plan out for you, and there's no guessing, feels nice. It's nice.
He doesn't point. And Joey's one of my favorite interviews because he does not care, really. Like, he really is honest more than most players and says stuff that, you know, there was even an interview where, you know, when Bosa originally talked about Alt, and then they asked Mac about that same interview about going up against Alt, and he was like, I don't know if I would have said that, but, you know, so it's just Bosa's a liability in a good way because he's just going to give you, he's a straight shooter in
unfiltered.
That sense. Yeah.
He also said, I feel confident about how I'm feeling physically. I think I've been not forgotten, not around here, but maybe some people have forgotten the player I can be. I've always enjoyed proving people wrong, whoever that is. Obviously, that's not the main driver, but I have felt a bit more motivation this offseason to really get back and make a big impact. Need it.
I'm not a hater, but I would love to be proven that, like, what I actually believe. You know, it's like, I never stopped believing Joey Bosa. I thought they were going to trade him because of his injuries and performance over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And that's probably what he's talking about, is the trade rumors and... but I just want him to prove us right. Like, go out there and kill it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, he took a pay cut.
Yeah.
He restructured his contract in a way that was more friendly to the team. So nobody, you know, you don't expect to see that from a guy like Joey Bosa, who you expected to be at least a little bit more, not selfish isn't the right word, but, you know, hey, I got to take care of me. And this is the contract you guys signed. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, a Keenan Allen type approach where Keenan Allen didn't take a pay cut and said, this is the contract I signed. This is the agreements, you know, the terms we agreed to. So if you can't make it work, then
I think it's a Harbaugh effect, dude, because I don't think Keenan, think Keenan had the investment in that as much as Joey did. Joey playing against him in college, Joey knowing what he's all about. I think if Harbaugh's not our coach, there's a good chance he's not taking a pay cut.
Oh, never. I don't think he would have done that for Coach Daly.
Right. Even a little bit. Right. So it's, I think it's just the fact of where we are right now with our coaching staff and the way we're all set up. So hopefully, you know, maybe he just wasn't being challenged in the right way. And maybe that's what Coach Harbaugh and the staff can do to really kind of push him over the top. And it's just the health, dude. Like, he's always been a stud. He's had some mental lapses, and we all remember that playoff game. Like, that shit can't happen again. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be a different situation under Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah, and even with the injuries, I saw somebody posted a picture of him working with Ben Herbert after one of the practices on the sideline, like just staying after practice, just getting everything worked out. So, God willing, man, this guy stays healthy and just has a hell of a season.
Yeah.
But speaking of injuries, Chris Rim pointed out that Jim Harbaugh said that linebacker Junior Colson had surgery to have his appendix removed after discovering he had appendicitis. He isn't sure when Colson will be back. And
that's not great.
It's not great, but I have heard, I have seen that he has been at least seen back at practice.
Yeah, he was on the side yesterday, like going through some stuff. So I don't, the question, there's no timeline on this, on when it happened. And I think it's interesting because Harbaugh just had a press conference.
Yes, he did.
Where the previous day, and no shade, but Daniel Popper was, I think, pressing him like he was Staley.
When's he coming back?
He was kind of doing, he kind of fell back into a Staley mode and really wanted to know about how these players were doing. And he came out with like a press conference, like, hey, I wrote some notes down for you guys. And
here's,
it was like
mission statement.
One, two, and the third one, he stopped. He's finished. I don't know if you saw this guy, but he stopped and he just looked around the room like, I'm not going to tell you guys shit all year long. Right. So just come to terms with it.
Yeah.
And then all right, thanks, guys. That's so hard.
Let it linger.
It's the total leader dad move of like,
oh, dude,
we're on the same page here, right? Like, just stop. Like,
I don't have to repeat myself, do I?
Yeah, we're on my page, right?
Yeah. I'm the captain of this ship. You're just along for the ride. You're disposable. So,
hey, Dad, when can we stop and get some food? I don't know. It's my plan. I'll let you know when we're ready to stop and get, you know, get out of the minivan.
Are we there yet?
Why won't you give us more info on the injured players? Because I said so. And that's all you have to do.
Because I said so. Yeah. That's the Harbaugh move. But it's going to be interesting. I love that he's setting the tone, not only for his team, but for how these interviews are going to go. And like, I don't know. If I would have been in the room and he would have responded like that, I would have been like, oh, no. Oh,
yeah, I'm in trouble.
He did that because of me, didn't he?
These are the kind of press conferences I've been expecting. Mm-hmm. I feel like right when we made the hire, there were several people that came out and talked about how weird his like interviews were and how much he hates the press and how he like tiptoes around, or you'll ask him a question and he'll tell you a random story. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty like, and probably because it's off season, the stresses aren't ramped up. The actual football to talk about hasn't really kicked in yet. But now I feel like we're finally starting to get some of that unique Jim Harbaugh interviews, which I'm excited about. I love it. I hate the cookie cutter answers. The Coach Staley interviews were so boring. Like, you know what he's going to say after every question.
Right.
I love the random opportunity for a Harbaughism or like a story about him and his brother as kids.
Right.
When asked about the injury report.
Right. Let me make an analogy here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
you know, his, like, people are giving him a hard time for his being birthed analogy, but I loved it and it makes total sense to me.
Then it's a good analogy as long as it makes sense.
That makes sense to me.
It's kind of like when you're at the grocery store and you have more than 10 items, but you want to go to the 10 item or less. And you're just like, I just wanted to know, is the guy hurt? Is he coming back in like a week? Like, what are you talking about?
It's just like loops them into confusion. Yeah. So they never ask the question again.
I am not a doctor. And then finally, the last bit of news that came out,
this is some petty news, but
this is very petty
news that I hope
this is petty Pendergrass level.
This is a last second addition to the
episode. Yeah, this morning I got all fired up because I
Kevin
saw
had to
it
get
really
this
early.
Off his chest.
I had to get it off my chest because this pisses me off.
because the NFL top 100, always a contentious top 100. And to also reiterate, this is put together by like players and coaches and executives and stuff like that. I don't think this is a fan voted thing. No. But in the top 100, it came out that Justin Herbert was ranked 75. We talked about that on one of the episodes.
Previous year ranking was 32. Just put that out there.
Right. And we chalked it up to like, okay, well, look, he got hurt. He was injured. He didn't play the full season. So it was just, yeah, okay.
We can justify it.
We can justify it.
We can justify it.
He's,
got him. He just broke Adam.
I just went over a speed bump at full speed. I didn't see that coming.
That was a speed bump.
But they've been slowly coming out with more players. They'll eventually get to who the number one is, and I'm sure it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or something like that. But Joe Burrow came out as ranked 39. Now, this was also a guy that got injured last year.
He played only 10 games.
Played 10 games. Herbert played 13 and had like a 1% better completion percentage, and threw for one less interception. But Herbert
almost
threw
for 1,000 yards more.
Yeah. Almost 1,000 yards more than Burrow.
I think it just shows, dude, like they're looking at the team he's on as much as they're looking at the player. Mm-hmm. So as soon as, you know, if Justin can get us to a Super Bowl, so there's a ceiling for Burrow now, in my opinion. Like the ceiling is he went to a Super Bowl, so he's going to be in top 40 no matter what.
Yeah.
Just so he's at 39. So right now, as soon as Justin can win and get us some playoff things, this will just kind of go to bed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just annoyed me. So.
It is annoying, especially when you just look at the numbers like that. It's just like, come on, guys. Really?
Not look at Joe Burrow's face in this picture with his bleached
shirt. He's Eminem, dude. It's not justified.
It's not justified whatsoever.
No.
But what is justified is our Patreon. Patreon.com/ChargerChat. Go on over. Check out all the fun, silly-ass videos we got over there. We just had our hangout with the Special 10s. Great time. And we've got some big plans coming up as well.
I'm just going to say it.
No,
fantasy football's coming to the Charger chat. So if you want to come over and play with us and you haven't been a member yet, but you want to come play, then we got some prizes. We got all kinds of cool stuff.
Nobody wants to play with me.
So definitely go check it out. Patreon.com/ChargerChat. But if you don't want to go over there, it's fine. You can go on over to our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, like t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions and ask Bolt fam. So go check out chargerchat.com.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, like I said, we've got a new NFL mic, Bolt of the Week. We're going to learn something about a player. I don't know who. I'm going to learn just the right along with you. So let's find out who is this week's Bolt of the Week.
Charger Chat listeners, welcome to this week's
Bold of the week. If you've never seen me before, hi, I'm NFL Mike. And I am coming on the Charger Chat podcast once every other week, bringing you guys a deep dive into a Charger voted on by you. And we're going to count up all of the votes in the comment section below, and that Charger will be featured in the next episode. So real quick, before I reveal this week's Bold of the Week, I think you will all enjoy it very much. Don't forget to comment which Charger you want to see featured up next week or in 2 weeks. All right, this week to celebrate NFL training camp kicking off, and because I went to training camp, I got to meet some of you guys in person and got some suggestions from the Bolt fam directly to the source. Y'all want this episode to be Jim Harbaugh. So this week's Bolt of the Week will be Jim Harbaugh. And also, since I went to training camp at the end of my little spiel about Jim Harbaugh's life and how he got here to being the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers today, I'll share some of the insights and some of the stuff I saw at training camp while I was there. James Joseph Harbaugh was born on December 23rd in 1963. In the great state of Ohio. That's pretty ironic, Michigan fans. Growing up with his brother, John, who you may know as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens currently, the head coach that led Lamar Jackson through multiple MVP seasons, the head coach that's won the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, probably a future Hall of Famer, and his father, Jack, who was a football coach at the University of Michigan when he was growing up. So growing up in a football family like this, it's no surprise that Jim would also follow in his brother's and his father's footsteps. Jim Harbaugh's football journey began at Michigan, and it would come full circle back to Michigan later in the video. In high school, he was good enough to accomplish his dreams as a kid and earn a scholarship to play quarterback for the University of Michigan, where his dad coached. I think Jim would outperform even his expectations, because from 1984 to 1986, Harbaugh would lead his team to the Fiesta Bowl and even be a Heisman Trophy finalist at some point. Following his college career at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh would actually be a first round pick to the Chicago Bears, where he would go on to have a 14-year NFL career, playing for the Bears, the Indianapolis Colts, the Baltimore Ravens, and of course, the San Diego Superchargers. Harbaugh would bounce from a starting lineup to a backup role throughout his career in the NFL, but when he became a coach after his retirement, Harbaugh's legacy would really be cemented. His dad was now coaching at Western Kentucky, so first that's where he went to help his dad build a team over there, eventually catching the eye of the University of San Diego, and they would take a chance on Jim Harbaugh, hiring him as their head coach. And what a chance that was, because Harbaugh would lead the USD football team to back-to-back Pioneer League titles. Now catching the attention of even a bigger fish, Stanford. He would turn the Cardinals into a national powerhouse, winning the Orange Bowl in 2011. Jim knew that his next challenge was going to be the NFL. The question was where. Of course, when he was offered the job of the San Francisco 49ers, he took it. And after struggling to find success with Alex Smith, who was looking to be a bust at this point, Jim Harbaugh saved that man's career and took the 49ers to multiple NFC championship games, even all the way to the Super Bowl, just to lose to his brother in a close game at that. A game so electric, the light shut out at a certain point. By 2015, that story I was telling you about had come full circle. He would leave the 49ers and become the head coach of the University of Michigan, where Jim Harbaugh started his decade-long pursuit of a national championship, which we all know he would finally accomplish at the end of last season. And now he's back in the NFL with unfinished business. Jim Harbaugh was hired by the Los Angeles Chargers, in case you've been sleeping under a rock this offseason, and he is on a mission to get that Lombardi Trophy and bring the first one home to the team that he used to play for, and home to some of the San Diego fans of the first college that he coached at, away from his dad at least. And I got to see some of Jim Harbaugh's historic first days at training camp as head coach of the Chargers in person. I went Friday and Saturday, and it was a blast. You guys can tune into my channel. I'll have videos dropping on more of the personal stuff I did at training camp, but just specifically Jim Harbaugh's practice, my first impression was, first of all, these practices were buttoned up. There was no music playing like at a Brandon Staley practice. Every player, every coach on the field was locked in for the period of time they needed to be locked in. My second takeaway is that Harbaugh is helping Herbert become even the next level of quarterback. Herbert was near perfect. I think I saw him throw 7, maybe 8 incompletions max the entire 2 days combined. And like 5 of those passes were dropped by wide receivers or tight ends. And he was hitting all of his weapons. DJ Chark over and over again. Ladd McConkey somehow more than DJ Chark. These two were going off. QJ was making big plays down the field even. We're seeing him hit Stone Smart for touchdowns over the middle. And Harbaugh's put an emphasis on keeping these guys healthy and ramping up the different players at different speeds, personalized based off of that player's needs. For example, he's made the point that the players that have to play in the preseason games in the next 2 weeks need to practice a lot harder and a lot more to get in shape to play in 2 weeks. Versus the players that aren't going to see preseason action, or if they do, it'll just be the fourth quarter of a single game, probably late in the preseason. Most likely not until week 1 of the NFL season, which we're still multiple months away from. So why put the wear and tear on Slater, Mack, Bosa this early in the offseason? Why have them going as hard as they possibly can on the first day of training camp? It's not the middle of the season. They do not need to be in mid-season form yet. Our boss theory, and I think Ben Herbert is probably the guy that is giving him the information here, that these guys could use a little break from the intensity that their bodies endure as NFL players. Makes sense. Let's hope that these guys can stay healthy this year. My biggest takeaway from the whole thing, seeing it all in person from a bird's eye view, pretty much at the top of the grandstands, from the fans to the players to the brand new facility, the media, the social media content creators I got to meet while I was there. Everyone knows, and you could feel the vibe. You have finally given the keys to someone who knows how to drive stick shift like Jeff Gordon at Martinsville Speedway. I'll be back at training camp Thursday. If you guys see me there, say what's up. And don't forget to comment which charge you want to see featured in the next Bowl of the Week. I won't make an executive decision this time. I'm going to give it back to the Charger chat host, but first I got one question for all of you. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Wow, NFL Mike, you're the man. Well done.
Killed it.
As
this
usual.
Guy, he can't miss. He cannot
I'm telling you, dude, I think he could have like an alternate career as like a professional wrestler.
100%.
Like he could cut some serious promos, dude. No joke.
Just me trying to interview him on the side, and he keeps taking the microphone away, going, ooh, let me tell you something here.
Sorry, we just watched a Macho Man documentary, and I can't break it out of my head.
It's roaming around.
NFL Mike, that was awesome, and I'm so glad you got to go to training camp. I'm extremely jealous of all the photos that you got with all the other Charger podcasters out there. The director flew out. Like, I'm a little jealous.
No, there's FOMO. I'm definitely having some serious FOMO right now.
Big time, but it's all going to get fixed when that week 1 comes around. And we're all there for week 1, baby. So another just killer job, dude. Like y'all heard, put it down in the comments. Who do you want him to talk about on the next, not this next episode, but the next time he's on? 2 weeks from now, he's going to talk about another Charger player. Who do you want it to be? Put it down in the comments. NFL Mike, thank you again for another awesome segment. It's time now to go on to the next segment, Ask Bolt Fam. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Here you go.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Don't jam a thumb up his bottle. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam. And we start off with Big Red Bolts fan, who asked the question.
If a question be asked, it should also be heard. So say it the brothers and their third. And shortly thereafter, a press conference occurred, with the reporters' voices no longer being deterred. Dare I think, nay, dare I say, the Charger Chat boys hold such sway that speak into being their words just may influence the brass in such a huge way. Bravo, my friends, for achieving such power as to make the gods of social media cower at the might you wield as you do tower, like the sun doth shine brightly over a flower. All kidding aside, it is pretty darn cool that now a question asked is a question heard too, saving the necessity to call the team fools for not implementing such an obvious tool. K, love you, bye, till the next class is schooled. P.S. tell a raider a day to suck my butt. P.P.S. is intellectual barbarism the coolest phrase ever, or what?
Suck my butt.
Suck my butt.
All right. Big Red Bolts fan. Yes, I'd be shocked if they were like, what? The Charger Chat guys want to hear the questions? Well, stop construction. We got to figure this out. Yeah.
Get to the bottom of this.
No, I don't think that was the case, but it is great to hear the questions being asked. I do wish they were a little clearer.
It's funny. Adam, if you listen to our podcast and you appreciate it, sorry.
Kevin, catch your breath.
If you appreciate the quality of this show, it's because Adam's hyper crazy attention to detail and making it sound the best it can be. So he's still not satisfied with the quality of audio in that
I'm just
room.
Saying, you're throwing shotgun mics on the front of the podium and they work. That I will say that every now and then I do hear him, but there's a couple times where I'm like, is nobody running the soundboard? Like, I forgot to turn the shotgun mics.
I think the fader guy's not there when you get really pissed off.
Oh man.
Just
hire me, Chargers. I will ride that dial so well. I'm going to get that shit tuned in.
I'll be your minimum wage dialer, baby.
In intellectual barbarism. Is it cool?
Cool. Can you use it in a sentence?
Is intellectual barbarism the coolest phrase ever or what? Is the only phrase I'm aware of. I'm wondering why this popped up. I feel like this is like maybe Harbaugh said this somewhere and we might have missed it.
I might have missed this. Be a bully. Be
an intellectual barbarian.
Yeah, be barbarism. Brutal.
Or is that barber like a barber, like a haircutter? Intellectual haircutter?
Keep it clean.
Yeah. Keep it out of your eyes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Big Red Bolts fan.
This is funny watching you guys figure this out.
I was waiting for you to jump in and be like, Professor Kyle.
I can't save you guys. I'm just listening.
Let me see. All right. Big Red Bolts fan, thank you, buddy, for asking the question.
We've been exposed.
We have. Let's move on now to Marco DeLeo, who asked the question.
The season bound to come. Finally, things are happening in our Chargers world. So let's bring this home and to a close. Final battle stage, SoFi Stadium. Arnold Schwarzenegger from Commando versus Sylvester Stallone from Rambo. Who and why? Tell us finishing move of winner. Finish him, Co Bolts.
I have a very strong stance on this. I feel pretty good about my answer. So it's all in the language. So the problem is Sylvester Stallone from Rambo was hiding in the woods with a knife. If you said Rambo 2 with the bazooka and like the crazy dart, like
Rambo ends with him in the city just taking everybody down.
But if we're comparing apples, and you're right. No, you're right. He blew some shit up.
Good point, Kyle.
But if we're comparing apples and oranges, Commando, well,
are we
he has.
Comparing apples and oranges?
Apples to apples, orange to oranges, whatever. Grapefruit. If you're comparing fruit, Commando, he has the most ridiculous arsenal of shit of all time. It is the most, if you go watch that movie, it doesn't hold up because of how ridiculous it is. If you said Rambo 2, this would have been a harder choice for me.
Are you saying there's nowhere to hide in SoFi Stadium?
I'm saying the amount of arsenal that Commando had in that movie, he could blow up
just
everything.
Blow it up.
Everything. Just everything is gone. Rambo 2, he could be sneaking with the, you know, bow and arrow with the missile tips.
Yeah,
that's a different thing.
Well, maybe it includes the whole Rambo universe, like everything Rambo.
The franchise.
The Ramboverse.
You could use any Rambo. So it's like maybe Arnold blows everything up and then you just have...
He's just standing there with a knife in his teeth.
Behind a trash can, yeah. Behind a trash can.
He falls out of a tree. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's as obvious as you think.
Okay.
I don't even know how that would go. What do you think, Adam?
I'm trying to picture the fight because it's SoFi Stadium, so it's like...
There's nowhere for Rambo to hide. He hides in the forest the entire first movie.
What if they were fighting on top of the stadium? Like, that seems like if it's the final fight, which this is, he's, I think Marco's trying to put a button on it. The final fight should feel like Commando, it's like on top of the
stadium. If they're on top of the stadium, Commando kills the both of them. He breaks the glass on the ceiling and they both fall through. And they fall to their
If deaths. I can't win, no. If I can't win, no one can win.
Brays his way to victory. Maybe he hits the ground second, so technically he wins. I think that maybe is the only
he
way.
He just
that
hugs them and like lets a grenade pop and they just...
I think that's a good way to end this off season of battles,
no winners
as they just blow up together.
I will side with Arnold just because I want him to win. I mean, like you, I mean, I can do kind of a Sylvester Stallone, but hey. Oh, way. But Arnold's just way too much more fun to do a voice of. So if I had to pick right a winner, now. I'm picking Arnold.
Yeah, I think Arnold's like he has like this square rocket launcher with four barrels.
Dude, it's insane. It's like weapons that don't even exist that they made up for that movie.
And he's carrying a full tree, like a log, just through.
Yeah, he hurts people with trees and shit in that movie. It's just crazy. It's he's unstoppable. Yeah.
Arnold from Commando, I think, is the final answer.
Yeah. Even if you took the whole Rambo verse.
You can put all the Rambos together. I don't think they're beating him because he's willing to go down.
Arnold three Rambos.
Three Rambos versus one Commando.
All right. Well, there you go, Marco. The winner from the Charger chat says Arnold Schwarzenegger. So there you go.
Go, Marco. Chargers.
Go, Charge, go. Marco, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Andrew Ramsey. Who asked the question? We are back to Chargers football, baby. Bolt up. Any squad, any place. Bolt gang or don't bang. Who the hell comes up with these and how do we start a new one this season? LOL. I think it's fitting. Each of you right now come up with your own trademark. Outside of suck my butt, because I don't think the Chargers will be selling that or putting that on their social media page anytime soon. Unless one of you wants to come up with a low-key way the, like, family trust respect for suck my butt, LOL. K, love you, bye. Time to brainstorm. Come up with a new slogan.
Glide to violence is mine.
Glide to violence. It's not bad.
Take off, baby.
That's a good one. I like it.
What was the new slogan that came out? It was like, hear the thunder, feel the lightning or something like that. Did you guys see that on their Instagram?
Yeah. What was that?
Is
that
what storm is coming? I guess like
they did say that. The storm is coming.
I don't know. We're looking for hard stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the hard part.
I feel like it has to be something that's so organic and that comes up on the spot that you can't brainstorm a good, like, family trust respect. That's not going to be from a brainstorming session.
Right.
You know?
That's just when it happens. Whoever came up with that had a moment of just complete genius and clarity, and it was meant to be because it works for us, and they still don't know most of the time what we're talking about.
Right, exactly.
That is the perfect... If you could come up with something like that where it disses somebody... Without them knowing, that's
the best one. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the family trust respect is a play on F the Raiders. So suck my butt is SMB. So we just got to come up with something that starts with the letter SMB and then we've won. And they will never even know that it's suck my butt. Sorry, Mr. Super Belvedere. Mighty. Super Mighty Bolts.
Super Mighty Bolts. Ooh. There you go. Super Mighty Bolts. Suck my butt. Kyle just had a moment. It just hit him.
Super Mighty Bolts.
we're the Super Mighty Bolts. We're the Suck My Butts. Kyle, that was great. That's the new, yeah, that's the that. Shirt.
That's
the shirt.
Much more organic
Super
than
Mighty
that.
Bolts. But we all know it's really Suck My Butt.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody like breaking through the shirt like that.
Whoa.
I just had a design idea.
It was the visual that really caught me.
Jeremy Searcy, if you're hearing this, I'm calling you after this is over.
It doesn't get much more organic than that. I mean, you're looking at like other things too with like Harbaugh, you know, the who's got it better than us, nobody, but that's not Chargers specific. That's Harbaugh specific.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Super Mighty Bolts, dude.
Super Mighty Bolts.
I'm in. I'm all in. I just got so excited with that. It's on.
There you go. Andrew Ramsey, thank you for asking the question. If you folks have other slogans or things, ideas in your head, put it down in the comments, because I promise you we read them. Let's move it on now to Tony Francis, who asked the question.
God damn it, motherfucking Jones. How in the holy hell are you? I know how I'm doing, and that's fucking awesome. I'm about to make my way down to LA and visit Chargers training camp cadets. Coach, you gonna be there, maggot, or am I gonna have to drive down to San Diego and kidnap you? My first question is directed at you, Kev. What player has impressed you the most at training camp so far? Also, God damn it, motherfucker Jones, will Justin Herbert sign my football at training camp? My next question is directed at you, old dog. What impact do you think Rashawn Slater getting hurt at training camp will have? Also, God damn it, motherfucker Jones, do you think Justin Herbert will sign my football at training camp? My last question is directed at you, John Cena. I mean, coach. I accidentally called you John Cena again because lately it's been hard to see you on the podcast. Just kidding, coach. You know I love you. Karate in the garage, remember? Which edge rusher leads the Chargers in sacks this year? God damn it, motherfucker Jones. Do you think Justin Herbert will sign my football at training camp? Anyways, love you all. The Raiders, burn the kingdom, kick the donkeys, fuck you, Staley, and suck my butt.
Who's motherfucking Jones? I don't know who that is.
Well, from Horrible Bosses. Remember?
Oh.
To like to contract to kill the bosses.
Oh.
I think. Let me double check.
Okay.
Keep talking.
I'll take it.
Dude, that makes it so much clearer. I was reading this. I was like, who is this?
Who is this guy?
Why are we Jamie mad at Fox. Jones? Okay.
It's Jamie Foxx from Horrible Bosses.
Okay. Sweet. Gotcha. Well, clearly I need to watch that one more time. But great questions here, Tony. Let's start on the first one. Kev, what players impressed you most at training camp so far?
Just because I haven't been there to like watch them like consistently, I think the eye test. There's this guy, I don't know if you remember this running back from the Giants, Brandon Jacobs. He was like a 6'4" running back that like could never be tackled.
Hmm.
Gus Edwards, dude, is so big, is so much bigger than I thought he was. Mm-hmm. He's like 5 inches taller than every other running back we have. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. So just the eye test, I would say that. And then some of the plays that have been made, McConkey for sure.
Yeah.
Like he has absolutely come out and he's going to be a great safety net for Justin. I'm not going to say Keenan yet because that's some big ass shoes to fill. But
right,
he's given me comfortable vibes.
Give me a little glimpses.
He's giving me vibes, a comfortability for Justin.
And do you think Justin Herbert will sign his football at training camp?
I just put it out there. Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I just put it in the universe. I just thought about it really hard and I sent it to Justin.
I felt it.
Weird. Justin's never gotten any of those for you.
I know.
You never tried.
It's a selfless act. I usually ask for stuff. Jones. I usually ask for stuff for myself, but when I ask for other people, maybe it'll change.
Yeah,
like, will you please come to my house for my 40th birthday? That didn't happen. It's not going to happen. I know it won't happen.
It's not happening.
Well, maybe Tony can will that into your universe.
Yeah, Tony. Hey, I willed just you getting a ball sign. Can
stream.
You will him coming to Columbia, Missouri to take up with me on my birthday? That'd be great.
Your birthday comes around. Bing bong. Who's
that? Oh, shit.
It's my car just broke down in this cul-de-sac.
Honey,
for some
why
reason.
Do you got to keep ordering shit from Amazon? You really... I am hoping. Justin.
All right. The impact of Rashawn Slater getting hurt at training camp. This is something that happened. We didn't talk about this at the beginning, but Rashawn Slater did leave early in one of the practices, said he felt something. And so they had to kind of shift the line around. And I think they had Alt playing left tackle. They had Pipkins playing right tackle. And they had Jamari playing right guard. So if anything, it's better that it's happening now. Obviously, it wasn't something that felt season ending by any stretch, but it's that opportunity. One of the things I think that's going to be really interesting about this line is the idea of how many different positions these guys can play. You know, having Alt, who was a natural left tackle at Notre Dame, is now playing right tackle, but you know he can play left tackle. You have somebody like Jamari Sawyer, who had to play left tackle for Rashawn Slater when he went down 1 year and did pretty good, but he's also playing guard. And you've also got somebody like Trey Pipkins, who has been playing right tackle, but has also been reported as playing guard. So there's a lot of pieces that can shift around. And if there was a time for Kevin. You to practice and figure out who can play in what positions, this is the time to do it. So for Rashawn Slater to get whatever the injury was, because we all know Harbaugh's not a doctor, guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged.
This is the time to do it. And I think if anything can help the team deal with any possible injuries that can happen during the season, they can be prepared to know how to play in each of those positions.
Well, and it was blown out of proportion because he played and he did one-on-ones with everybody.
Yeah.
So he was at practice and he just had like a knee, not brace, but like, you know, in college, all those college players have those giant knee things on. It was like a mini version of that. So, but I agree with your sentiment, cross train everyone.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see Trey Pipkins right tackle ever.
No. But if it's.
Yeah, you gave a very weird wince, eye closed.
I'm trying to be more positive about this. I had a friend and it's her birthday and she told me, I had a friend whose birthday it is who texted me and said, Kevin, just remember the guy that you are negative about is one of Justin's best friends. And I said, that is a good point. And I'm not going to talk about negative about him anymore, starting now.
There you go.
You're welcome.
And do I think Justin Herbert will sign your football? I want it, but I don't know. He seems to spend a lot more time. If you have a kid, Tony Francis, and I don't know if you do
hire a kid. Hire somebody under 12.
Yeah, you might
want
to hire a kid actor to come in.
Dude, if you want it signed, get a kid. Get a friend's kid. Get somebody to go up with you that's under 12.
Pay him 40, 60 bucks.
With their permission, not don't be creepy.
No kidnapping.
Actually, I don't condone this at all. I don't want to take away from the kids getting their signatures. I retract my previous statement.
It's funny if it's in a movie. It's not funny when it's real life. But yeah. My sources say probably not. As much as I want you to get it signed, I wish you could sign everybody's stuff. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Just go hang out. See if you can find, because I'm sure there's a gate separating the under 12 with everyone else.
Yeah.
Get right on the edge of that. Like, get there early and get right there, you know?
Yeah. Just position yourself. And, hey, anything can happen. Let us know if you do get it signed, though. I want to see pictures.
I want a photo.
And then John Cena, I mean, coach. which ed rushers are leading the Chargers in sacks this year?
I don't know. I think it's going to be well spread out. We have four bona fide pass rushers this year. Last year, it felt like we had one. And then Thule stepped up to be two once Joey went down. But we got four guys that can get after it. I think it's going to be very similar to the wide receiving core of who's going to be the leading receiver. But you can't bet against Khalil Mack. He had 17 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He didn't. He's not. There's no reason to believe he's not going to come back and have just as much production. So until somebody dethrones him, Khalil Mack's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
100%. There you go. Tony Francis, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Mr. Pekar, who asked the question.
Hey, boys. With everything going on with Herbert Squared, Padded Camp, QJ and Ladd, and everything else, I just have to ask, with a minor tweak, who is more excited than us? BTFU, FTR, or Suck Mine? But and K, love you, bye.
Nobody.
Nobody.
It's hard for me because, like, the fact that all day long there's new Charger news, like every single day. And I get like this weird thing where I feel like I need to see everything. So when I miss something, I'm like, oh God, what did I miss? I missed that clip. I got to go back. It's a problem. I got to work on that.
You know, we're in training camp too right now. Like, this is not just for the players. We're getting back into this.
Got to get into form.
We're gliding. Kyle's gliding in. We're all gliding in.
I took an episode off. I'm gliding in to be prepared for the regular season. I'm not used to checking the news every day. There's nothing there.
You gotta warm up.
I looked. We're
gliding. We're getting ready for it.
Yes. More excited than ever before, Mr. Pekar. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Amber Dorman, who asked the question.
No question this week, but wanted to share how amazing and incredibly kind our quarterback is. My daughter painted a rock for Justin. We drove 8.5 hours, blew our tire, and stood in line for nearly an hour to get into camp. But it was all so worth it. Justin spent 30 plus minutes signing for all the kids. It was utterly beautiful chaos. As things were wrapping up, we got Matt Hankins to bring Justin the painted rock. He was so kind and appreciative.
All right, so.
That's amazing.
Just to point out, Amber posted pictures and she also shared a video. And she gave us explicit permission to share this.
So
I'm going to do that. So hold on to your butts.
Oh, God, even better. Let's go.
All right. So first, signed jersey. Love it.
He has the coolest signature, dude.
Him and Harbaugh, man, have some really clean signatures. And I love
that. Round one quarterback action, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. This is a guy who knows how to sign.
Yeah, he practiced. He knows.
So there's the picture first of the jersey.
Yeah.
So sick.
Here's the rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
So cool. Painted rock, bolt on it, Chargers, number 10, and a big old heart.
So cute.
So cute. And then the creme de la creme, the piece de resistance, is the video of Herbert getting the rock.
Okay. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, dude. Oh, so my God. I love that.
At first, he was like,
so
you want
much.
To sign this? And they're like, no, it's for you. You keep it. We did that for you. That's so sweet. That is the sweetest thing
ever. He can add it to his workouts when he's doing his shoulders. Hold the rock, man.
Yeah.
Hold the rock.
Don't drop the rock.
Oh, dude. I'm so happy for you guys who got to do that. 8.5 hours. I'm talking. This Charger fan base, man, is no joke. 8.5 hours for a practice. Amber and your daughter, unbelievable. It's so cool that you guys did that. I'm so, so happy for you guys.
Sick. Big time. Yeah, that's the sweetest thing I've seen all day. And shout out to Matt Hankins for also making that happen.
100%.
Because, I mean, Herbert's just, everybody's just screaming, Justin!
Yeah. You hear that?
Justin! To actually take the time to see that we're not asking for this to be signed. We just want to give this to him. This is my daughter painted this. Oh, yeah. So sweet. So cool.
So cool.
Thank you for sharing that, Amber. That really is a sweet thing to share. But let's move it on now to OM Run, who asked the question.
Is it just me or is Herbert jacked? Lats for miles. I can't figure out if it's the uniforms are just tighter or Ben Herbert's whatever he does.
I'm telling you, dude, it's those bands like that. That is going to check.
I'm telling you, I've been saying
I've been working on them. My range of motion's getting better.
He does. It is interesting because at first I was like, huh, jersey looks a little snug. But I think it is more they Justin bought him. Filling it out.
Justin got his like back to school clothes and he came back and just doesn't fit. Like, you're wearing them. Go to school.
Yeah. Hey. What do you think? Jerseys growing trees?
Like gold jerseys are just lying around?
Yeah. Oh, what do you think? That we spent $275 million on this training facility and we can't get you a jersey that fits?
That's true. We're not buying you anything else. Get out there.
I'm tapped. Hey, all right. What else do you want from me?
Or he tried them on and that's what he wanted. He's like, Swole Patrol season.
Swole Patrol. I wonder if it falls into that, like you were talking about with wearing the game jerseys and they're like, it's a little more snug. It's a little tighter. Mm-hmm. You got to work. I wonder if is that something to consider?
Somebody's masterminding this. And I'm just for everyone that likes Justin.
It's all part of the connecting dots here. That's all I'm saying. I'm not.
Just glide it on up.
Just gliding through this.
The jerseys will slowly get looser. They can breathe.
They start snug. You got to wear them in a little bit. You got to loosen them up yourself. So there you go. Oh, I'm run. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Daryl 21, who asked the question.
Hey, guys, you need to meet the future Kitty Charger fan of all time, Max.
as he watches Herbert highlights on only his second night here with me. Ooh, hope they pop up. All right. Now, on to my question. As much as we dig Pompers, insight, and articles, was it me, or did it seem like he pissed Harbaugh off a bit on Saturday's presser? Asking about Slater's injury 3 to 4 times seemed to be overkill, and I couldn't help but think what many of us were thinking. Pop, you're not dealing with Staley, bro. Hoo-ha! Saturday was fun, though. Met NFL Mike on the shuttle and got Dick of the Kicker's autograph, and damn, there were a lot of people. I hadn't been to a training camp practice since 2009, and this was much bigger and insane. See you Tuesday, guys. Caleb, bye. Hoo-ha!
All right. First and foremost, I need to share a picture of Max.
I see it in the outline.
One of the coolest kitties. Look at him. He's locked in.
He's in.
He is watching those highlights.
Oh, my God.
I love this. My cats don't do this. Max, your cat is way cooler than my cats combined. Do you want to trade?
Hot swap a kitty. A little meow, meow.
All right. And glad you had a great time at training camp. That's awesome. And glad you got a freaking autograph.
Dick
so
of the
cool.
Kicker, dude. That's some good stuff right there.
That's one of the best. And then talking about the Popper presser where he just kept poking Harbaugh.
Do we think that he's taken on the villain role? Like, he liked it last year. He got a little bit of attention. And he's like, I'm the villain now. Buckle up.
I'm the villain now.
I could see it. I didn't understand the 3 times when he did it. I didn't understand it. Like,
he's trying to poke the bear.
Well, he basically got Staley to kind of explode himself last year.
Yeah, Staley snapped. Yeah.
He snapped on him. So, you know, I don't know if he's trying to do like the gotcha journalism kind of stuff or what, but I know he's just trying to get us, you know, news for the fans and what's going on. But kind of when he looked at you that way that second time, maybe don't ask it the third time, you know?
Yeah. Dude, they have control of who's allowed into those press conferences.
Very true.
I don't think it's beyond like the idea, the realm of possibility of Harbaugh being like, yeah, you're no longer welcome here.
Right.
Like,
I'm only going to say this once.
Yeah.
After that, that's why he came out with that little paragraph that he wrote about all the, you know, I'm not a doctor. Okay. If I have something to tell, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're working through something. Next question.
Yeah. He's not going to, no, the fact that he wrote down his 3 points to success on how he's not going to talk to you in the press conference.
That's the first and last warning.
One, two, and three should be enough for your 1, 2, and 3 questions.
Yeah.
So we'll. I love Pop. I'm not trying to talk shit about him, but we all heard it, and it sounded a little out of line, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a pinch.
Yeah, just a little bit.
He's pushing the boundaries, though. Good for him.
Well, and he's not dealt with a coach like Harbaugh. I mean, as long as he's been with the Chargers, I can't speak for any previous time that he's, you know, been a beat reporter for other teams, but this is his first time dealing with somebody like Harbaugh, so learn pretty quickly.
I mean, he's trying to get the news for us. That's what he's there for. So
sure.
Yeah.
We want to know what happened.
Thank you for trying, but don't piss off Coach Harbaugh.
Piss off Papa Bear.
Ease up on your main thrusters there, Papa. Thank you, Daryl, for asking the question and sharing the pictures. Love them. Let's move on now to Ulysses Pineda, who asked the question.
Well, 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 we meet again, my favorite bungholios. I have spent the majority of this week arousing myself with videos of training camp, interviews, and football activity. It is most definitely pleasing to have all this content again. Once we get into the season and we can get 2 episodes a week, climax will be complete, baby. I guess I have a question. Is it just me, or is this QB market out of control? Tua, Trevor Lawrence, and Jordan Love are now making what, 50 fucking million plus a year? At this point, Uncle Rico could make 30 million a year. This is some fucking bullshit, man. It is crazy to think that Mahomes is now vastly underpaid, but he can still suck a rod. Do you think that in this present time, players are more focused on the money and being the next highest paid versus focusing on making sure that the salary cap can better the team as a whole? I don't like the way this trend is going.
Well, I have missed you, and I'm really hoping I can yell suck my butt with you at Thunder Alley this season. I'll be at the Chiefs and Ravens home games at SoFi. Anywho, with that, I bid you a farewell. And as they say, maybe 5 o'clock somewhere, but I like to say there's a butt getting sucked somewhere. Good day and a great week ahead. Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos can fuck all the way off to Planet Ass Butt.
Oh, Ulysses, you play into our juvenile sense of humor. Planet Rods ass and ass butt. Butts. Oh, good stuff, dude.
The money for quarterbacks that have not won a Super Bowl wild.
It just is what it is. We have one of them.
Of course, but
it's funny to
playoff game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny to me like how the Tua thing. I'm curious how that's going to go cuz pressure is really on some of these guys now.
Totally.
Like, well, the question will be in 4 years who is still playing on that contract. Right. Cuz now they're putting themselves in a place where if they're not performing at the top, they're going to be gone. They're going to find a way. They're going to have to figure out something to do with it. So
I don't know. Like, with the market, the way that it's moving, is $50 million a year even going to be like a top paid guy in 5 years? You know, just like you said, Patrick Mahomes, we thought his contract was astronomical.
Right.
He's now a top 10 paid quarterback, and he is the best quarterback in the NFL. Won back to back Super Bowls. He's won three of them. It's like, they're just kind of projecting where this is headed. And they're like, this guy's good. He's good enough to win. If everything else is right, let's just pay the man now so we can lock in this astronomical amount that is going to be low in a couple of years and get going. But I don't really know how you fix it. I think unless you put a cap, position cap, where you can't go above this amount for that position, because the quarterback is the most valuable position in the NFL.
Totally.
So I don't really know how you're going to get around that. Although you're like the 49ers and you got a guy you're paying a couple hundred thousand a year to, the rest of your team gets really good really fast. So unless some of these GMs start rolling the dice with having to have a rookie quarterback and just kept constantly drafting really good rookie quarterbacks, there's no way around paying these guys.
Right.
Well, it's also too, like, it's going to be a huge discrepancy. There, at some point, there's going to be a tipping point. Like, for Justin is worth it, in my opinion, because it doesn't matter who's around him, he's going to elevate people and he's going to be clutch. Some of these guys are on really good teams with really good supporting casts, and as soon as you pay Tua that much money, you're going to start losing some of those weapons that made him have good years.
Jalen Waddles and the, like,
you're not going to have those guys. You're going to have what we have. We're going to have young guys that need to prove it. But who are you more comfortable with having as quarterback throwing to those young guys to have a great season? Justin Herbert or Tua? I'm going with my guy 100% all the time.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Jordan Love getting 50 mil is crazy.
That one was wild. Yeah.
Half a season.
He played 8 good games.
In half a season.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was talking about how crap they were in the first half of the season. Second half, they played better. But and he did look good, but 50 mil after 8 games? That's insanity to me.
He owes us a tip or something. He owes us some gratuity on that
spark
one.
Spark plug for
we
that.
Give Staley some money because he sparked your career. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
$50 million.
It is wild to see the amount of money being tossed around. And there might be a tipping point. I mean, the other thing too is they keep raising the salary cap that teams can spend. So it's like if that dollar amount keeps increasing, then everybody's going to want a piece of that. And that includes the quarterbacks and their quarterbacks' agents are seeing that, and they're just like, aha, here we go. It's my time to shine.
Inflation's a bitch.
That's right. So we'll see, Ulysses, if there ends up being a tipping point. But as it stands right now, hard to say. But thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Thunderwin James, who asked the question.
We're so excited to hear Wooldog and Huggin leading the fam to the Charlotte game that I immediately bought my ticket too. Should we get the Eye of the Storm forming in the parking lot before the game? Basketball the Panthers fans ahead of kickoff? I love me some good old-fashioned psychological warfare. I also love me some Ladd McConkey route running. On day two, he had a fake out, but it cut the still has me
me bolting so hard. Oh, sorry, you're still here. Anyway, I had a question. Do you all think Herbatron can join the rare and coveted club of throwing 4K passing yards, 30 passing TDs, and 5 rushing TDs in a season under the Giro offense? Only 4 QBs, to my Californian education system knowledge, have completed the feat. Mango Chelados on me, if you can guess half the group. FTR and SMFB.
Well, so glad you're coming to Charlotte.
Oh, dude, first of all, you stumped my brain, and I didn't get a chance to celebrate with you. I'm glad you're coming.
And Kevin loves some basketball psychological warfare, so I know
any kind of competition. Probably,
exactly.
Let's do it.
And then in regards to the quarterbacks, can he get, what was it?
4,030 touchdowns, 5 rushing. I think so. I don't see why he couldn't.
Well, because he had over 4,000 his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he's ever.
I think he's been
30 passing TDs.
It's the 5 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
That's the tricky one.
Because what's his max been? Like 2 or 3?
Yeah.
I think so.
Little ones where he's under center and they get the little tush push.
So it could happen, because that's all you're looking at. Then you're looking at that one stat. You're looking at the 5 rushing yards.
Right.
Yeah. But all 3 of those stats are pretty impressive combined. He's had 4 quarterbacks do it. So who are those 4 quarterbacks?
I know the answer.
Jackson.
Because he put the answer on the question. So I'm not going to answer, but we'll see.
So Lamar, Alex Smith.
Oh my God.
Colin Kaepernick.
That's what I was going to say. Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Kaepernick, Jackson. Lamar. Michael Vick.
Flacco?
Wait, we only need to guess half. So there's only 5. We just guessed 3 of them. Michael Vick, Jackson, and
when did
Kyle?
Michael Vick play for Greg Roman?
Does it have to be for Greg Roman?
I don't think it has to be for Greg Roman. It's just at a QB that's had 4,000 passing.
Only 5 quarterbacks have done it ever.
Yeah.
I was thinking of just Greg. All those quarterbacks they gave off were just Greg Roman. I would not have said Alex Smith if it wasn't.
But that's interesting. Couple of them were Greg Roman, and I think a couple of them are legit besides the Michael Vick did it. So did those three make it? Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick, and Jackson?
Lamar?
I'm double checking here. I'm checking his work.
If Vick ever threw for 4K.
Maybe not.
That's a lot. Well, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes then.
We only need half of the Vic right answer to be right to meet this challenge.
Okay. This was kind of a trick question. There are some other names, but is this right? One second. So it's partially a trick question because Herbert's rookie season, he did throw for over 4,000. He did have over 30 passing touchdowns, and he had 5 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, he's already done it, you sly guy.
But the question, I guess, is can he do that with Giro? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the answers. You sneaky son of a bitch.
You little turd.
And I don't think you guys said any of the other names, because apparently Joe Burrow did it as well.
Boo.
Josh Allen and Steve Young.
I was thinking, I thought it was just Greg Roman coached quarterbacks. That's where my brain went instantly. And that was some psychological warfare you just played on us.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
The freak.
I just saw that he put answers. I didn't check his work. And then as soon as I saw the names, I was like, wait a minute. Wait a poly pick a minute.
Already did it.
You son of a bitch. All right. Well, no mango chelatos for us.
Yes, he can do it.
Fun Derwin James, but he did it before and he'll do it again. Hey,
I'll bring you a Top Gun high five. Pop, pop.
There it is. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to BTFU Chargers guy, baby.
Baby.
Who asked the question? Oh,
Uh-oh, my charges, homies! I'm back, baby! Wish me luck! I'm gonna try to get tickets to the Charger Camp for my birthday, baby! Calm down, everyone! My birthday is on the 10th of August, baby! But back to getting to my question for the Chargers homies, baby! In Jim Harbaugh era, how many Super Bowls do you guys see us winning, baby? I'm thinking 2 or 1 Super Bowl wins. As always, bolt the f*** up, baby! Suck my bum-bum, Raider fans! F*** the Raiders and the Chiefs, baby! I'm out! Can't love you, bye! P.S. I love watching you guys' podcast. You guys are doing really well. Keep up the good work. Much love and respect for you guys, baby!
Love you too.
Yes.
BTV, thank you. I appreciate that.
Baby! Baby!
I like the suck my bum bum. That's
suck
a nice
my bum bum.
That's sweet.
That's for the kids.
We could have a whole line of this clothing. the bum bum sizes. Line?
All right. How many Super Bowls in the Harbaugh era are we reeling in?
I'm gonna say one. Because they're so freaking hard. Minimum, but I think that's probably that's all I want. That's all I need. Harbaugh, just give me one and I'll go through whatever else I need to go through to get one.
What do you think, Kyle?
I think if we're completing the Infinity Stones, he's getting a full fistful.
Let's go.
That's what you were doing.
Let's go. Yes. I love that.
All right. Infinity Stone this bitch.
Yeah. I mean, cripes. If the Chiefs can get 3 with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, 3 in 5 years, I mean, we just got to hold on to Harbaugh. We just got to hope that once he gets a Super Bowl, he's not like, all right, I'm good.
Did it. Yeah.
Later. I'm going to go hang out with my family now.
Or he's like, Justin, no. We can do this 5-6 more times.
Yeah, dude, let's run it back.
Let's just run it back.
Yeah, you got to just hope that Harbaugh has the, I mean, for all accounts and purposes, the guy loves football more than anybody in the world, loves coaching more than anybody in the world, and loves Justin Herbert more than anybody else in the world. So if that love can go on for years, if not decades, how long was Belichick with Patriots?
Forever.
Too long.
Forever. It doesn't matter. It was a long time.
So annoying.
Yeah. So if we can get that kind of an era with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I want people to hate the Chargers because we always
I want that guy. I want that so bad.
I want people to hate Harbaugh because he's just always there and he always wins.
Is Harbaugh still there? Is Herbert still there?
But then I want to be quietly humble and just wave at people like this when I walk by them, you know?
Yeah.
Quietly
humble. Give them the Infinity Stone.
Yeah, that's
it. Gauntlet, yeah. When somebody starts complaining, you just give them one of these. And then you snap them out of existence.
Suck this butt.
There you go. BTFU Chargers guy, baby. Thank you for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bull Fan with Athir Kadir.
Athir.
Kadir. Nice, Kev.
Who asked the question?
Charger champ, my babies! First, Kevin, you silly, my boy! I did come to your defense 2 shows ago about Herbie Top 10. Are you listening, bro? So I have an important comment. Then get to my question, please. Hope the coach is here today, baby. You're in luck, Athir. He really is. My baby QB has been getting a lot of crap from the media, and he's not talked about. Been top 4 QB in the AFC because the best QBs are in the AFC since Herbert's been drafted by the Bolts. He had coaching, play calling, defense, all worse in the NFL. Offensive line average, wide receiver hurts. Now to my question. Aside from Mahomes, baby, which AFC QB has been through what Herbert has dealt with, baby? Start with Coach Kyle, followed by Kevin and Wooldog, my baby! P.S. Herbert and Harbaugh after this year will tell these AFC QBs, suck my butt, Chargers style, let's fucking go, baby!
Yes, Herbert has been dealing with a lot of slander, not all of it very warranted, to be honest.
It's just silly shit. It's the difference a year makes thing, man. It will. Watch. Just watch what happens. Right. And then people that are like on, you know, shitting on him are going to keep doing it. They're just going to look like idiots.
Right. Yeah, because we keep those receipts.
Oh.
And the Chargers do too.
I got a box full over here.
But as far as QBs that have dealt with what Herbert has dealt with, I mean, my finger's not really on the pulse of other QBs that deal with this kind of nonsense.
I've never seen turnover in the coaching staff like this. And,
no.
And like offensive coordinators and systems. Like he has a new system every single year.
Right.
Three head coaches since he started. Three.
Yeah. The only name that I can think of, which is really sad, that's had this kind of experience is Philip Rivers.
Oh, it's like, shit. Well,
we had turnover, especially late in his career. Early in his career, we were great. We had the number one defense, number one offense.
Yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer. It was great. But ever since then, it's been
Mike McCoy, Anthony.
Why are we underperforming like this? Like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And a turnover in a lot of the coaching staff. So I don't know where you could say this is an elite quarterback that's had all of this going on around him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good point too, is like, you know, having a really terrible defense for Justin, the worst one in reality was Philip Rivers having the worst special teams that kept that team being the best team ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's comparable. But I can't think of anyone else that's been playing at the level that he's playing at.
Right.
With the accolades that he's gotten, with the what's happened around him.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's the eye of the storm, dude. He's just right there in the middle where it's all clear and everything else is spinning around him. And hopefully somebody will come in and, you know, fix that up.
Yeah. That's somebody's definitely going to be Harbaugh.
Hopefully he's in the building already. Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Yeah. The plane has landed. He's not gliding anymore. He's landed. He's there and he's making a difference. But yeah, like the stat that we shared multiple episodes ago about, like, you know, comparing how many points Herbert has scored versus how many points the defense has allowed, you cut that thing, you know, by three quarters, we're talking a whole different ball game here.
Oh, yeah.
On the defensive side, because Herbert's talent is just incomparable. But you have a defense that allows as many points as they have, which is also still mind scratching because you've got playmakers on that side of the ball. But they're just, whether it's a formation thing or
scheme, scheming. Baby. Scheme was bad.
Yeah, it's rough. So it's a lot more exciting now to hear from people like Khalil and Joey and Derwin and, you know, just captains on that side of the ball being like, it's easier. We get it. We're bought in. And this is going to be fun. This is going to be a good time. So really looking forward to the season there, Athir. Thank you, buddy, for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions. Ask Bolt fam, we greatly appreciate it. But that's going to do it for this episode of Charger Chat. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
We're gliding. We're gliding. Dude, gliding to the season. It'll be here before we know it.
Preseason football here this week. That Hall of Fame game.
Yeah,
and then we have the Chargers play a week from Saturday.
I know. God. Coming.
Dude, I got some sad news on that. Like, I'm going to have to watch the game after the fact because I bought myself a birthday present and I'm going to
without
a concert.
Looking at the Chargers preseason.
Well, I bought these tickets like 8 months ago. I was like, I got to get something for myself. So I'm going to the Blink-182 concert on the 10th.
And they start right when the game starts.
I might be just like on my phone watching the game in the stadium the whole time the band's playing, but
don't waste your time on me.
Yes! Touchdown!
All right. Well, there you go, folks. That's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Super Mighty Bolts. Super Mighty Bolts.
When danger strikes, who will save the day? It's time to meet the Super Mighty Bolts. Join Thunderstrike as he heads the charge. Volt Vixen with her electrifying smarts. Shockwave with his powerful waves. And Blitz, the fastest hero around. And be sure to collect the toys. Collect your favorite heroes, like Thunderstrike's Lightning Strike set, Volt Vixen's Shockwave Flyer, and Blitz's Speedster Racer. With the Super Mighty Bolts toys, you can create your own adventures and save the day just like the heroes on TV. Get ready for action, friendship, and fun every Saturday morning. Don't miss the Super Mighty Bolts. Together, they create a force unknown to mankind.
Super Mighty Bolts. Super Mighty Bolts.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.